This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
One more time. Some good news, Rockies fans, as we celebrate opening day 2.0 today. What the heck does that mean? 607 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gale from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Working from Peace by Ryan Osborne out of KMGH. And needless to say, for most of us diehard Rockies fans, the 2020 season was a wash. There was baseball, kind of, sort of, for a couple of months, but not one single solitary fan at Coors Field to take it all in. And while limited capacity of fans has been allowed this year, well, it's been hard. It's been hard to replicate the feeling of a packed stadium to open a baseball season. But fortunately, well, we are getting a second chance. Yep, Rockies announced opening day 2.0 that takes place today as they take on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Why June 28th? Well, that's when Coors Field is allowed to return to a full capacity crowd of 50,000 fans. This after the team received approval from city and state officials and Major League Baseball. Now, the Rockies, once again, since it is opening day 2.0, will hold the usual opening day pregame fanfare, including fireworks during the national anthem. And the team also moved, and this is important in case you have tickets to today's game, they moved the game time from 6:40 p.m. to 3:10 p.m., which, well, is considered by most to be a more traditional opening day time slot. There's only one opening day. Well, technically, there's two this year. But the full capacity crowds are here to stay at Coors Field. Yes, another indication of a return to some semblance of normalcy. But full capacity crowds are here to stay at Coors Field through the end of the regular season. And that includes, presumably, subject to change, of course, and all this is driven by COVID-19, as well. It's a narrative that we have become quite familiar with over the past, 13 to 16 months. That presumably includes the All-Star Game in Denver on July 13th. Now, interested in getting tickets? Don't know. Didn't have a chance to check. But you can simply jump online and visit Rockies.com/tickets. And if you want to go old school, you can give the Rockies a call. You can also buy tickets simply by calling 303-ROCKIES, or if you're in the neighborhood, visiting the Coors Field ticket office. But once again, Rockies are hosting opening day 2.0 today at full capacity Coors Field. All right, just wanted to pass this along. Been following this. This has I-70 again is closed today in both directions through Glenwood Canyon due to a new mudslide. This is according to CDOT. The closure is in effect from West Rifle to Dotsero, and there is a circuitous detour in effect. It'll take you hours if you're traveling in that area to get where you need to go. Now, the closure was initially announced as the result of a flash flood warning issued by the National Weather Service in Grand Junction, but CDOT later tweeted that there had been a mudslide. And oh my gosh, some of the video from that mudslide is absolutely breathtakingly terrifying. We'll just put it that way. Now, Sunday's mudslide, about 80 feet wide, as deep as 5 feet in some spots. What a mess. And CDOT said I-70 would be closed in that area for an extended period. Now, speaking of that rather lengthy detour, if you are traveling in that area, you're being asked to take Colorado 13 from Rifle to Craig, then head east on 40 to Steamboat Springs over Rabbit Ears Pass to Kremling, then head south on Colorado 9 to Silverthorne. See, I wasn't kidding around there. CDOT said drivers should not use navigation applications to search for alternate routes, other auxiliary roads such as Cottonwood Pass, Eagle, Thomasville Road. They're not passable and they do not have cell service. Now, as you might be aware, the highway was actually shut down for hours in that same area Saturday. This after another mudslide, which happened about 3 p.m. Well, I guess that would be the first mudslide. The eastbound lanes reopened about 8 p.m. By 10:30, the westbound lanes, as a result of this mudslide on Saturday, were also open, with an exception of a single lane for about half a mile near the site of the mudslide. And those lanes did reopen on a Sunday morning. Mudslide on Saturday was 70 feet wide, 5 to 7 feet deep, according to CDOT. It consisted mostly of loose dirt and mud with some small rocks. According to Colorado State Patrol, the mudslide was a debris flow from the Grizzly Creek fire of 2020. But just a reminder that I-70 closed again in both directions this morning through Glenwood Canyon. This due to a brand new mudslide that, officials need to contend with. At this point in time, the closure is in effect from West Rifle to .0. 613 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail via the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Had the chance Friday night to see an absolutely uplifting, inspirational, hilarious production, musical production of Shrek. Makes sense. Shrek the Musical. It is incredible. You will laugh. You will cry. You will celebrate life as we get back to life and living. So tell you what, all you have to do for tickets and show information is simply jump online. Visit ColoradoCandlelight.com. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, Broadway in your backyard.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA. Today's headlines, podcasts of Mornings with Gail and more, and a schedule of upcoming sports broadcasts. Find them at 1310KFKA.com.
Well, I didn't get my funnel cake yesterday. Dagnabbit, at the Greeley Stampede. Oh, but had a wonderful gyro and some lemonade as well. Didn't get any chicken on a stick either. Doggone it. But what a great day at the Greeley Stampede. I mean, smiles abounded. And the PRCA rodeo, oh my goodness. I had forgotten. You know, it's like an epiphany each and every year. Of course, all the festivities were carried on the Cowboy Channel. And the show, I mean, kudos to the organizers, not to mention, oh my gosh, you talk about working hard for the money. I don't understand how these guys do it. They turn into Gumby on the back of these really snitty, rather cantankerous bucking Broncos. And I don't know how they do it. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't think your vertebra is supposed to work that way. But what an amazing show. It was patriotic. It was inspirational. Opening ceremonies. I mean, everybody around me was in tears. A well-attended show. So much fun. And then the mutton busting. I mean, that's one of my favorite events. How about you? 970-353-1310. Of course, I love watching just the sheer strength and determination of these PRCA rodeo professionals. I mean, don't try this at home. And, you know, I mean, just all the events that make it so darn special. It was just an incredible show. Now, Ryan Kelly at the con, as he is each and every morning, knows a little something, something about rodeo. And I'm watching the team roping. How they do that, I have no idea. You know, because you got to get you got the two cowboys riding, right? And here comes this calf going, oh, they're going to do it to me again. I'm going to wind up down on my belly and I'm going to have my legs all tanked. And then the horse going to be pulling me back, and the poor little calf is going, can I just go now? Can I go get a cookie? And it was incredible, you know, after the team roping festivities, as they, you know, untied the calf. Calf's fine. Calf gets up, kind of shakes it off, and goes trotting off. We were in section B, so it goes trotting off toward the other corner of the arena where a gate is open, because I think there's probably treats in store for him because he knows the drill here. But for the life of me, watching the skill and the timing as they're, you know, you got the one guy roping, you know, the steer, you know, getting it around his neck or getting it around, you know, the, yeah, there's little things there. And the other guy is throwing. I mean, you know rodeo better than I do. It was just such an incredible experience. But throwing that lasso and getting both of his rear, the calf, both of his rear legs, you know, caught in that lasso. Nobody gets hurt. No calves were hurt in the duration or in the production of the PRCA rodeo at the Greeley Stampede. But how they do that, I have no idea. Now, Ryan Kelly at the con, as he is each and every morning, helping me desperately to the best of his ability keep it between the lines. I know it's a thankless job, isn't it, Ryan?
Oh, yes.
You know a little something, something about rodeos, don't you?
Yeah, so I've been attending. My parents were a part of the Old Bucker Committee back way back in the day, and they've been involved with the rodeo ever since. So we've always had season passes for everything.
But don't you find that astonishing? I mean, as they, you know, throw the one lasso, get the horn, and then the other guy, you can watch him, the other cowboy, he's kind of like, wait for it, wait for it, wait for
it. Yeah, I still think it's absolutely crazy, and I would never, never be able to even do that in any way whatsoever, but I always think it's very fascinating.
Oh my gosh, I just wonder, I mean, it's so hard on their bodies. I can't even imagine as they're on those really ticked off stallions. That are
literally.
Going, I know, and it's just like, this is incredible to watch, but I mean, it is a skill set I could never hope to master, never would have even tried. But just watching the talent in that arena, and I mean, we had some world champions there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a bunch of people that come through.
Yeah. So it's really, really cool. But wanted to ask you, because again, I'm nothing if not transparent here, but there were so many, there were some records broken yesterday as well. Stampede arena records broken at this PCR, at the rodeo. I'm all excited. PRC rodeo, excuse me. I'm all excited because it was just, it was like mind-boggling. It was overwhelming to watch. It was just such a sensory overload. What's this whole breaking the barrier thing?
So this is the best, I'm going to try my best to explain this. So basically when you break the barrier, say like you're doing like the cattle roping or whatever, the person that's on the horse, the cowboy, and they both shoot out the gate. I believe if the cowboy slightly goes in front of the cattle before whatever, then it counts as a penalty at that point.
Yeah, they tack on about 10 seconds.
Yeah, usually.
Mm-hmm.
You never know until the very end after they've done everything, and then the number just increases real quick.
Now, the cowboys ride every single day that there is a rodeo, or is it the same, or is it a rotating cadre of cowboys? It's a good question, right?
Like, from what I remember, I feel like a lot of them are there for, like, the week, but I feel like they do bring in some randoms, I guess you could say, to come in and out of the mix.
It would be like, one and done.
Literally.
It would be like, Kale, get back in the saddle again. Yeah, no, that's probably not going to happen.
Well, you want to do some counter roping?
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. I'm not so sure I'd want to be on the back of that Bronco that is really in a bad mood. But it was just so incredible and so much fun. So I would suggest that you get your stampede on to be sure. Now, all that said, and don't mean to be a Debbie Downer here, but there was a little bit of grousing going on because, you know, it was back in 2019 that the stampede had put in that clear bag policy, in effect. And there was some confusion. Because, you know, you're allowed to come on the grounds and, you know, carry, I saw backpacks. And, of course, you know, if you have kids and you have a stroller and you got diaper bags, fine. All that is good. But you have to have the kids in attendance. You just can't be, you know, oh, well, my kids are somewhere and I've got all this stuff. But there was some confusion as we were going into the arena because they are enforcing not only that clear bag policy for arena events, but also, and this is the reason why I didn't have my phone yesterday, because I'm sitting here before I went to the stampede, and I'm measuring this little clutch bag that I have because they're very specific about the size to the point where when you go to enter the arena, they're measuring your handbag. And there was one woman that went, well, let's just say it put a little bit of a hitch in her stampede giddy up because she was carrying a rather large bag, and officials said, no, you got to follow the rules. And they did tell her, now you can get a locker. It'll cost you $10 to get a lock, but the upside of that entire equation is that you could keep the lock. But she wasn't happy. So just make sure when you are going to the stampede, those arena events, that you check the Stampede website to get all of those size restrictions and, well, a number of other things that are strictly verboten, not only in the arena, but at the Greeley Stampede itself, because they've been, we talked about this before the Stampede actually got underway, that, you know, for our own enjoyment and our own comfort and our own safety, certain things not allowed at the Stampede. So I tell you what, we'll go through that list, just as a reminder in just a few, but a great day at the Stampede. Oh, by the way, I dug up, some more concert tickets that I'll be giving away this morning. Let's see what I have here. I have a pair of tickets to see Dylan Scott Friday, July 2nd in concert at the Stampede. And then I have two pair of tickets to see Hardy and Lauren Elena this Saturday, July 3rd at 8 p.m. So just listen for your cue to call. 6:31 now, 1310 KF. K-A.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Kevin Carr of Fat Guys at the Movies here. Don't forget to listen to my show every Saturday on KFKA. Now back to Mornings with Gail.
Well, it might not be 0 to 60 in 3.5, particularly with all of the construction, ongoing construction on I-25. So what can we expect in the near future when it comes to I-25 construction in northern Colorado? Well, CDOT hosted a media day this past week to show off its plans and projects for the interstate that, according to a piece by Morgan McKenzie out of the Trib, that all of this work is meant to reduce travel time, congestion, crashes, and emissions while improving safety and aging infrastructure over the next few years. Now, we have spent some time talking about this with CDOT Region 4 Communications Manager Jared File. And of course, we will continue to do so. But once again, a great piece by Morgan McKenzie out of the Trib that, well, kind of gives you all the details here, so I thought I'd share it with you this morning. 6:39 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail, from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Now, the project, okay, and we are talking about Northern Colorado work, okay? The project is divided into two sections along I-25. Johnstown to Fort Collins is referred to as Segment 7 and 8. Johnstown to Berthoud is referred to as Segment 6. So you can file that away for future reference. Now, there are 12 projects in the work for Segment 7 and 8. This is Johnstown to Fort Collins. Express lanes will be added to the two general lanes going both directions on the road. Four bridges will be replaced, with 18 bridges in total being constructed. Now, one of the bigger goals of the project is to improve bus service through that really cool new slip ramp. Well, actually, there's more than one. These slip ramps from the interstate to the new park and ride on Kendall Parkway in Loveland. With pedestrian access under the highway, you'll be able to park and take a bus to Denver. Now, this involves the addition of something called the Sentara Loveland Mobility Hub. This will be the first in-state mobility hub that will service Bustang running through Northern Colorado. The hub consists of 10-foot tall by 20-foot wide boxes, if you can visualize this, on each side of the interstate, with tunnels for folks to get to transportation platforms in the median. How cool is this? The bus will travel through the express lane on the far left, pull off to the left to pick up passengers from those platforms, and then keep moving right along. Now, Chris Bosflug is project director for construction between Fort Collins and Johnstown. Chris said the redesign will be a much safer experience. Bus drivers will no longer have to worry about the danger of crossing multiple lanes when entering the interstate. And for the rest of us, it'll also save time. And it'll save time for riders because it eliminates the need for buses to cross those lanes. Bosflug said Bustang is going to run in the express lanes. It's incredibly efficient. I think we shave 13 minutes off, he said, the current configuration for Bustang. Now, another major project that we can look forward to, or not as the case may be. Okay, a little bit of patience, a little bit of short-term pain for long-term gain. I think that's one way to look at it, right? But these upgrades in the area of the Poudre River, CDOT is working to replace the north and southbound bridges of I-25 over the Poudre River. Oh, back to this hub. Did you realize that cities, including Greeley, are considering adding a connection to that hub that we were just talking about, this Sentara Loveland Mobility Hub, adding a connection to that hub in their long-range plans? Meanwhile, back to upgrades in the area of the Poudre River. The goal is to connect the Poudre River Trail under the interstate for pedestrians and bikers, linking the trail from Greeley to Fort Collins. Now, in total, the area will link to 100 miles of trails. The three main purposes of the project are, one, lifting the road out of the flood plain and drain, creating room for trails under the interstate and serving as a safer corridor for wildlife. The section, segment, and eight projects apparently are 50% complete. This, according to a summer 2021 tour of Fort Collins to Berthoud brochure from CDOT. Now, there are six improvement projects planned over the next few years on Segment 6. This is Johnstown to Berthoud. In total, 10 bridges, 5.5 miles of roadway will be constructed. You had Abra Geisler, the project director for Segment 6, saying that the project includes reconstructing the interchanges at Colorado 56 and 60. Colorado 60, by the way, is shifting to a diverging diamond interchange, the first time this type of interchange is being constructed in northern Colorado. This to improve traffic flow during both the morning and night hours. Geisler said, we are able to totally reconfigure this interchange with no more than a 45-hour closure to State Highway 60. Now, it was determined that the sharp curves in the roadway of I-25 near Colorado 56, well, that's indeed the most dangerous part of the interchange. This according to that informational brochure referenced earlier. Due to the safety issue, the interchange will indeed be flipped and the curve will be realigned to reduce the prospect of dangerous driving conditions. Another mobility hub in Berthoud is also being added near I-25 and Colorado 56. Now, eventually, once more funding is obtained, construction will start on the second section of Segment 6. This is from Mead to Berthoud. Overall, Segment 6 is about 20% complete in total. All of the segments involved in improvements will be completed by the end of 2023 and the beginning of 2024. It'll be here before you know it. Currently, the full interstate project is about 30 to 35% complete, this according to Geisler. So what can we anticipate this summer? Well, you can pretty well expect impacts along I-25 from Fort Collins all the way down to Meade to include U.S. 34 and Prospect Road will shift traffic to those newly constructed bridges. Eventually, Frontage Road will permanently close off a portion from Colorado 60 to Larimer County Road 14 and Switzville Road 14 to Kector Road to realign I-25. Larimer County Road 20 will close for installation for the new Great Western Bridge. Between the Colorado 56 interchange and Larimer County Road 16, the installation of girders for the new bridges on the interstate will commence from Larimer County Road 14 to Colorado 56. Paving of the northbound shoulder of the interstate. That's going to happen. It's a thing. In late July or early August, Colorado 56 over I-25 will be closed for 140 days as construction workers straighten the curve of the interstate and align Colorado 56 to run under it. Jared Feil, quoted in this piece by Morgan Kenzie and the Greeley Trib, saying that CDOT received enough funding for these projects 14 years earlier than expected. He's told us that as well. Multiple surrounding cities within Weld and Larimer counties contributed funds. U.S. Department of Transportation also granted CDOT funding for these projects. About $600 million is going into the Fort Collins to Johnstown segments, and $300 million is going into the Johnstown to Berthoud segment. With the quick funding and being 14 years ahead of the game, construction is taking over the interstate for the next few years. Yes, because CDOT has to cram so much work into so little time. Although it'll be beneficial in many ways when we finally reach the end of this construction process, just be prepared to experience impacts along these corridors until early 2024, according to Jared Feil, CDOT Region 4 Communications Manager. No, it's not just this summer, but honestly, through 2023, he said, you just can't drive I-25 like you always used to. And again, something that we have come to be quite familiar with are those lane shifts. Well, you can expect a lot more of those lane shifts, as Jared Feil said. A lot of alignment changes are anticipated to happen on almost a weekly basis. basis. This, as an influx of funding, will ramp up that North I-25 construction. So just keep your eyes peeled and be, you know, particularly vigilant, because we've seen how those, even a minor alignment change, can throw us all a little bit out of whack. 648 now, 1310 KFKA.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. More local talk coming up next with NoCo Now on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Six fifty two on your Monday morning, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice. Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Yeah, I was so excited going to the Stampede yesterday. I mean, each and every year, it's almost kind of, this is, maybe it's just me, but for me, it's like the first time, just especially coming out of all those lockdowns and guidelines and restrictions relative to COVID-19. So good. I mean, it was packed at the Greeley Stampede yesterday, but so great to see families out enjoying everything that the Stampede has to offer, and going to the rodeo was absolutely incredible. I mean, like I said earlier, it was like sensory overload, so much going on, so much excitement and enthusiasm. I had to love in the mutton busting, which is one of my favorite events. I mean, I love the rodeo, don't get me wrong. I love all the other events as well. But watching those little kids hanging on to those sheep for dear life as the sheep are scampering across the arena. And the cutest little five-year-old girl won, because, I mean, she rode the better part of half of the arena. I mean, it was impressive to watch. I mean, she was going nowhere. She was hanging on for dear life and with big smile just wreathing her face. And apparently it was the first time she had ever done that. She hadn't practiced, because they did, well, as much as an in-depth interview that you can do with a five-year-old, asking her if, you know, if she was back in school. No, she said not yet. And well, because, I mean, she just cleaned up in the mutton bus, and she was just absolutely adorable. I'm sorry I didn't get her name. And she won herself a pair of really fine cowboy boots to wear when she goes back to school finally. But it was just so much fun and just such great adventures. So once again, get your Stampede on, to be sure. But as I mentioned earlier, there was a little bit of grousing, a little bit of confusion, because as you remember, it was back in 2019 that the Greeley Stampede did institute that clear bag policy for all arena events. But they've also instituted some size restrictions, ladies, in particular when it comes to the size of your purse. And we talked about this. The Greeley Stampede has been great in communicating this, but unfortunately it caught some unaware. And they are checking the size of bags when you go into any arena event. So I thought I would go ahead and pass that information along, just so you're aware. Now, remember, you can take a clear bag no larger than 12 by 6 by 12, or you can just kind of go old school and get yourself a 1 gallon freezer bag, a Ziploc or similar bag. But ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to your merce or your purse, whatever, your man bag, whatever the heck you want to call it, remember that you cannot take a bag larger than 4.5 by 3 by 6.5. I know all this is tough to remember, so I would suggest that before you go to any arena events at the Greeley Stampede, that you just jump online, go to the FAQ section of GreeleyStampede.org, because it's all laid out there. Oh, and of course, you can also bring in an official Stampede bag. Now, prohibited bags include all non-clear bags larger than than 6.5 by 3 by 4.5. And I had a small bag. I couldn't believe it. I found one that actually fit those dimensions. And yeah, like I said, they have like a little tape measure laid out on those endpoints to the arena at the Stampede. And they are measured. And yes, your bag is searched. I'm totally good with that. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Also prohibited. Clear bags that are larger than 12 by 6 by 12, color tinted or mesh bags. And again, for a complete list of prohibited items at the Greeley Stampede, not only in the arena but on the Stampede grounds, just jump online and go to GreeleyStampede.org. 657 now, 1310 KFKA.
The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA. More local talk coming up next with NoCo Now and Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Well, that first draft of Colorado's new congressional redistricting map is out. What does it mean for Weld County? Weld County Commissioner Lori Sain joins us in just a few. 1310 KFKA, Greeley, Loveland, Longmont, Fort Collins. It's 7 o'clock.